I'd like to talk to you about some field results for an experiment we conducted on an irrigated dairy farm in southeastern Australia. And the work was done in conjunction with my colleagues Bert Quinn and Jacqueline Raworth. And Jacqueline and I are from the University of Melbourne, and Bert Quinn is from Quinn Environmentals. And I should say at the outset, as you can see from this slide, that the work was funded by Quinn Environmentals. So firstly, I just want to give you a, indicate the outline. Firstly, I'll talk about the rationale for the experiment. I'll then talk about the experimental findings. Experimental design, then the main findings. And then I'll get into some recommendations or implications for efficient farm design. So firstly, the rationale for the study. Although at this point in time there aren't any legislation, or there isn't any legislation for the maintenance of water quality in Victoria, or for that matter in most of Australia, there is the possibility of that occurring. So the other issue is that there certainly are water quality guidelines, but there are just that, there are guidelines. The next is that there is, as it's there in most of the world, an increased environmental awareness. And finally, I think most importantly, and this is particularly the case with dairy farmers, is that there's a tendency for over-irrigation and over-fertilisation, and the two combine to result in exports of phosphorus from irrigated dairy farms. And so I should have emphasised before that this work is looking specifically at not an agronomic evaluation, but an evaluation in terms of the potential for off-site exports or impacts. So, in terms of the experimental design, the experiment was set up on a commercially viable dairy farm, irrigated dairy farm, and it is a border check irrigated dairy farm. And you can see in this particular slide here that this is the way in which the irrigation is applied. So it's introduced at one end of the bay and it runs off to the other end of the bay. Ideally, the idea would be that there wouldn't be very much in the way of runoff from these irrigation bays. They're often of the order of about 300 metres, and usually they are over-irrigated and runoff is observed. Just an idea of where this particular experiment was conducted. It was conducted on our Dookie campus, so this is a university farm. And it is situated in the northern part of Victoria, and this is in the southeastern part of Australia. Some of the other characteristics of the site are that the trial was grazed throughout. Each of the bays were rotationally grazed according to feed availability, and the stocking rate was 4 to 5 cows per hectare. The soil itself was typical of the region. In the Australian soil classification, which probably doesn't mean a lot to you, it's a vertic calcic red chromosol. And in a classification that doesn't mean very much to me, it's a pale, and I'm probably not even able to pronounce it, a pale exarelf. And the surface soil was a fine sandy loam topsoil, and the subsoil tends into medium to heavy clay. The characteristics of the topsoil, the 0 to 10 centimetres, is that by and large the soils had a variable but very high Olsen P content, and that actually made this a particularly high risk environment to use phosphatic fertiliser. And so the average across the bays that we irrigated was 50 parts per million for the Olsen soil test. The soils were mildly acidic, and the range was from 5.9 to 6.4, with an average of 6.1, and those pH values are in water. And another important characteristic was that these soils had a very high degree of phosphate saturation. The experimental design in terms of the layout of the farm, there were 12 irrigation bays that we put our treatments on. There were three blocks and four treatments within that. The treatments were superphosphate, commercially available superphosphate with the indicated phosphorus analysis. The other fertilisers were pro-DAP. Pro-DAP is a diammonium phosphate fertiliser that is blended with a slurry of elemental sulphur, and it supposedly has slow release characteristics. The other phosphatic fertiliser we used was partially acidulated rock phosphate. It was made from the acidulation of GAFSA rock phosphate with phosphoric acid. And as you can see, that gives it a fairly high phosphate availability. And the other treatment, of course, was a no-P treatment, the control. The fertilisers themselves were applied 10 days after an irrigation event, and they were applied at the district average, which was around about 50 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare. And all of the fertilisers were granulated. So in terms of the actual runoff characteristics, we had one replicate. So one set of bays were instrumented to measure runoff from the whole bay. And all of the replicates, so each of the three blocks, were contained four microplots where we could measure runoff, and we could also measure soil and pasture yields. I'm not going to talk about the soil values or the pasture yields in this presentation. We collected runoff from five irrigation events, and later in the period, there were actually two storm runoff events. And the things that we measured were total phosphorus and dissolved phosphorus in the runoff. So here's a photograph showing the design of the microplots. You can see the length of the irrigation bay here. So this is, as I said before, it's about 300 metres. And here's one of the microplots. There's a little trough here. This was 1 metre by 2 metres long. And we collected the runoff in these sunken carboys in the ground. This is the flume at the base of the whole bay plots, and you can just make out here a cut in the surface of the soil, and that directed water from the width of the bay into this central point, and we measured the runoff over these flumes with autosamplers. So to the results. These are the results for the whole plots. So these are the instrumented bays. And what I'm presenting here is are the results for the three different fertilisers and the control, the time since sampling commenced, and in this particular case, the total phosphorus in the runoff. The first thing you can observe in this particular graph is that the levels of phosphorus in runoff were extremely high. Even the control down here well exceeded the environmental guidelines for this region, which was about 0.05 parts per million phosphorus. So these values were at least 2 to 3 times higher than that for the control. The next thing that you can observe is that there was a very big spike in phosphorus that came from the superphosphate treatment. There was a similarly big spike from the supposedly slow release pro-DAP, which was a bit of a surprise to us because we did think that that was going to be a more slow release product, and a fairly consistent amount of runoff from the partially acidulated rock phosphate treatment. If we look at exactly the same, but looking at dissolved P, and we had a few missing data points here, but effectively the same trends observed. We found this big spike for superphosphate, equally big spike for pro-DAP and a fairly continuous level of phosphorus coming off the plots with a partially acidulated rock phosphate. And again, much higher, although the levels of phosphorus in the control were much higher than the guidelines would like. Now, this is skipping to a later period of time. So this is after 5 irrigations. So this is about 2 months after the initial application of the fertilisers. And so you can see now that the scale for total phosphorus, it's much, much lower. But all of the more soluble fertilisers had levels of phosphorus much higher than the control. And apart from that first little bit, the partially acidulated rock phosphate had runoff phosphorus, total phosphorus concentrations about the same as the control. And again, if we look at the dissolved phosphorus figures, you can see the same trend occurring. Now, so that's for the unreplicated part of the trial. So this is really the replicated part of the trial, where we were able to test the significance of our results because we have microplots on each of the replicates. So the thing to see from this, so what I'm presenting here is the total P in runoff on this axis, and each of the irrigations. So this is a period of over 2 months since the initial application of the fertiliser. And what you can see is the same sorts of trends, that the big spike was in superphosphate, up to 40 parts per million of phosphorus. The next highest and significantly higher than the partially acidulated phosphate rock was the pro-DAP fertiliser. And then you can see that by and large superphosphate remained higher than the control and the other fertilisers for the next 2 irrigation events. Partially acidulated rock was significantly higher at that initial point, but thereon pretty much although there weren't any significant differences between the different treatments. That's for total phosphorus. If we look at the same figure for dissolved phosphorus, you can see pretty much the same trends, although it appeared that the superphosphate didn't quite have that spike in that second irrigation. Okay, so what are some of the conclusions that we can make from this? The first one is that if you're going to use phosphatic fertilisers in these sorts of environments, and I have to stress that this is one of the problems, is that dairy farmers tend to use phosphatic fertilisers regardless of soil test. But if you're going to use phosphorus fertilisers in these sorts of environments, then you would be better off using less soluble ones. And I'd probably revise that a little bit and suggest that pro-DAP in this particular case didn't work as well as we would have liked, but the partially acidulated rock phosphate did, and they resulted in lower P concentrations in runoff than superphosphate. The other finding is that even in these extremely high risk situations, it seemed to be that the fertiliser that was certainly controlling the amounts of phosphorus that we were seeing in the runoff, and that the concentrations decreased with time, but clearly that there needed to be a long period of time or longer delay before the onset of irrigation. So the implications for an efficient farm design would be to use less soluble fertilisers as maintenance fertilisers rather than using more soluble ones, which is currently the case. That longer delay times are required after fertiliser application. The current recommendations are to leave irrigation to after 3 days after fertiliser application. But our work suggests that even up to a month after fertiliser application, that there are still significant amounts of phosphorus in runoff. And the final one is that you should try and retain that runoff water on site and reuse it. And reuse systems are available and have been instituted in a number of dairy farms, but only about 50% of dairy farms in the region actually have operational reuse systems. So that's it. Thank you.
Time for just one question. We'll have a discussion after the. Did you measure the efficiency, like which of those key products gave you the greatest response?
Yeah, we couldn't see any significant difference between any of the products. So basically, they all maintained the same level of yield. Anyone else?
That also includes the check?
Yeah, that was relative to the check, yeah. So I suppose the implications are that these are farming systems that have phosphorus well in excess of requirement, and that's the sad thing. Maybe there is need for regulation. Yeah.
What are the farmers doing with manure from the dairy operation?
Well, we don't house our, it's the cattle. Roam freely across the landscape. Well, within the rotational system, the main sources of manure would be from the actual dairy shed, and the dairy shed wastes are kept in lagoons, and they are put out onto the farm. One of our replicates did actually receive waste from the dairy farm, but the other two didn't. By and large, there are imports. There are also additional imports from grain as well. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So your system is slowly going to accrue phosphorus.
Yeah. And I think there have been regular phosphatic fertilizer applications, and because it's perhaps a demonstration farm, that phosphorus fertilizer hasn't been spared. But I know that this is quite typical of the region.
Thank you.